lift up your hands and begin to speak to God. Lord, I receive your word tonight. 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 Thank you, Master. Oh, so blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Hallelujah. It has been a very, very intense day. And those who have been here since morning, congratulations. Hallelujah. This is how to live. Laziness is more tiring than diligence. We are looking tonight at stewardship for God. Stewardship for God is going to embrace particularly kingdom financial stewardship. To make it all embracing, resources stewardship for God. Our objective tonight, first, will be to understand kingdom stewardship. What it is. Our next objective will be to understand the dividends of kingdom stewardship. One of the greatest secrets of greatness in life is stewardship for God, which is a dimension of partnership with God. Psalm 68 verse 11, it said the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Tonight, you are not going to be taught how to make money and then use the money to support God. That's not the teaching tonight. The teaching tonight is understanding the core of stewardship. If it is understood, there will be a lot of elimination of struggles. David captured it in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, all the way to verse 14. He said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. You are the owner of greatness. You are the owner of power. You are the owner of glory. You are the owner of victory. You are the owner of majesty. Everything that is in the heaven and everything that is in the earth is yours. You own the kingdom. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor, out of you they came. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. It is in your hand also to make great and to give strength to all. Can you see perspective? Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after the sword? For all the money of this world came from you. All things. And if there is anything we have given you, it is your own. We are not, and of thine own have we given thee. If they said I paid a tithe, if they said I gave a worship offering, I have not done anything extra. Place it there, please. Let me see. Of thine own have we given thee. That is the standard stewardship mentality. It is in my hands, but it is not my own. It is in my hands, but it doesn't belong to me. I want to look at a few examples in scriptures of people who operated with a certain mentality that produced certain results. People who came into alignment with God, with the understanding of literally working with God to fulfill his own purpose. And what became of them? Number one, Anna, the mother of Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 11. And she vowed a vow. And she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, and will give me your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This is a woman that had been looking for a child for many years. She prayed and was going to Shiloh every year, no answer. For as long as the focus of getting a child was on her, no answer. For as long as the reason why she wanted to get a child was her reason, no answer. Then suddenly, she realized, wait a minute. Eli is old. Eli's children are bad. God currently does not have a prophet, no priest. So the focus changed. I'm not looking for a child anymore. Lord, you are the one looking for a man. Lord, you are the one looking for a priest. Can you pass that priest through me? Lord, pass that priest. My only celebration is that he passed through me. I won't celebrate the ownership of him. I will celebrate the stewardship of him. In the matter of this child, let me not be the owner. Let me be the steward. God said, how did this woman get to this understanding? Your struggle is over. Take the Samuel. And Hannah said, take the prophet. Stewardship is the cure for hardship. What we struggle to get because of ourselves, the struggle ends when the stewardship mentality is understood.
For as long as the vision was for what she wants to get,
the struggle continued.
But once the vision changed to what God wants to get,
it's not possible for God not to answer his own desire. It may be for any reason, it may be difficult for any reason, for your own desires before God to happen just like that. But it is not possible for what God himself desires to be refused. If I stop here, I've already overpreached. What God wants is answered prayer that is waiting to be prayed. It's a prayer that has been answered, that is waiting for somebody to pray it. That was what Hannah did. God was looking for a man in the temple. Once Hannah made that her vision, she had no longer any battle to fight. You move on. You go to the example of David, the king of Israel. In Psalm 122 and in verse 9, we've read that before. He said, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. One translation said, I think it's the New International Version, for the sake of your house, I will seek your prosperity. For the sake of the house of our God, I will seek your prosperity. There are people looking for money so that they can be called millionaires on earth. David said, that's not why I'm looking for money. There are people who want to buy a yacht so that they can be among those who have it. They want to buy a plane. They want to have house in Paris and house in Dubai and house here and there. David said, that is not my own plan. Lord, I am looking for money, but it's for your house. And God said, really? I will embarrass you. And in 1 Chronicles 29, from verse 3 all the way to verse 5, David began to give the chronicle. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold and of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses with the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? Lord, there are people looking for money, but I'm looking for you. The success of this meeting tonight is if somebody will clearly understand stewardship. As far as Jehovah God lives, what to drive and what to wear, I am sure that I won't lack forever. You know why? Two occasions or more. I went to Lagos, and the pastor who came to pick me at the airport came to pick me with a taxi. I said, what's happening? At least where's your car? I mean, normally it's protocol or things. He said he gave his car to their church construction. Church is building. So he gave church his car. I said, really? What kind of car? It was those days, many years ago, that baby Benz, they call it. I had one, only one that I had at that time. You gave your own to the church, I give my own to you. Send to pick it. Under 10 days, they have come to pick it. If the man is passionate enough to give his car for church building. I share the passion with him. It has happened at least twice or more. Very soon we shall be defining this matter of ownership, of stewardship, separate from ownership. Now look at the Shunammite woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8, all the way to verse 11, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick that he can use to study the Bible in the night. And it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. I want you to see something from this passage. Number one, the person who noticed that the man that was passing was a holy man of God was the wife. Number two, the person the Bible described as great was the woman. A great woman in Shunem, not a great man. A great woman that was the wife of an ordinary man. Number three, the person who noticed that the man of God needed a house was a woman. All that she was doing was submission to husbandal authority. To just go and let husband know, a man is passing. The money is mine, but I want to take excuse from you to build him a house. Why is the woman so rich and the man so ordinary and so poor? God will always direct his resources into the hands of those who will use it for his purpose. The man was an ordinary person. If he gets money, he got it for his purpose. The woman was a kingdom steward who knew that she was in custody of resources for kingdom. God will always direct his resources into the hands of those who will use it for his purpose. I don't say you cannot get money without following God. There are rich people who don't know God. Only God knows what their transactions, both physical transactions and some of them spiritual transactions, that position them there. Because beyond what we see on the physical, there are spiritual things we know nothing about. There is a realm of gold in this world that you cannot conquer until you are in certain realms of covenant with God or with the enemy on the other side. That was what he told Jesus. Bow down for me and I will give you the gold of this world. Was that not what Satan said? There are many in possession of gold who bowed for Satan to reach where they reached. And those who will not bow to that Satan must bow to God fully for God to take them where they would reach like the first dollar billionaire in the world, John D. Rockefeller. Hallelujah. Stewardship. Let's go to point number, the next example that we have here. That was the third example, the Shunammite woman. The fourth example was Apostle Peter at the lake of Gennesaret. The apostle at the lake of Gennesaret. In Luke chapter 5 verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he will thrust out a little from the land. He begged him, and he obliged, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and lay down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Long story made short, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from hence thou shalt thou catch men. I shift your level. Hallelujah. You see what Simon did? His equipment, base of money making, was completely handed over to the master. Master, use it. That is, the sheep may be in my hand, but you are the owner of both me and the sheep. Why did he beg Peter and not the other man? He knows the heart of all men. He probably knew that if he asked the other man, he would say, no, who are you? After laboring from night to morning and I'm going home empty-handed, I should still give you my sheep on top of it so you can do what? He avoided him. You see, when you see God use people, don't be shocked. I think it was one of my children that asked me one day, said, why did God say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated? When the children were still, they haven't even done anything. I said, God knew what they would do in advance. From the womb of the mother, he had already known them. He knew that Jacob, no matter his cunningness, had covenant sense. He knew that Esau is a man of the stomach. Esau was a consumer. Esau will ruin everything. That's how it is. One of the prayers we like to praise God, give me the correct heart. Help me. If you know I will behave, I will misbehave tomorrow. Change my heart disposition today. Peter gave his sheep with that belief. He's the owner of the universe. And by the time the master was through, Peter could not draw the fishes, because it was too overwhelming. I'm going to come to that. But the final example is the centurion. In Luke chapter 7, verse 2, the centurion, and a certain centurion servant who was there unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, instantly saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he has built for us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. This man loves us so much, only him built a church. Jesus said, let us go. And that child was healed. This quality of people is who God is looking for. I want to say something to you today. There is a difference between a Christian millionaire and a Christian financial steward. There is a difference. A Christian millionaire is a man, is a Christian man that has millions. He could pay tight, he could give when it is time to give. A Christian financial steward is not just a Christian businessman. He is a minister of God in the financial domain. There are times you come across him, you think you are seeing a pastor. He's a minister of God whose platform is the financial realm. And I'll let you know shortly. The way God called me to handle the microphone and preach the gospel to conquer souls for the kingdom, in the same way God mantled him into the financial realm to conquer wealth. Let's start it gradually so you can understand. The man is conscious of an assignment. The other guy is a good person. He will give. He will do that. This guy is on another page altogether. The other guy I'm talking about is a billionaire who is still doing one-on-one evangelism. But I'll tell you about his billions now. Who is still very deep in the prayer band. Not to come and pray to protect his money or his life, but on an assignment of kingdom. Now let's go. Number one. What is stewardship about? One, it is working for God to conquer wealth for the sake of his agenda in the earth. This man is working for God. Whatever business he finds himself, he is working for God. Not working to make money for himself, or working to make a name. He is conscious of the fact that he is working for God. For the conquest of wealth. For the sake of God's agenda. The same way that Hannah said, I'm looking for a son. But not that I want to have children and call myself, oh, I have children like other people. This child I am looking for is not mine. This child I am looking for is just passing through me. Number two, a kingdom financial steward. First is working for God to conquer the world. Number two, it is running with the vision of God, assessing the provision of God, and fulfilling the purpose of God in the earth. Running with the vision of God, accessing the provision of God and fulfilling the purpose of God in the earth. What is your vision? Kingdom financial steward billionaire. My vision I am trusting the Lord to have 1,000 mega crusades bankrolled completely in my lifetime. I am trusting the Lord for about 5,000 churches, like 1,000 to 5,000 seater capacity, from foundation to roofing, built before I leave this world. And I am trusting the Lord for the resources, and let him try me, and he himself will see the churches. The other guy has built his house, the normal Christian money man, he has built his house before he remembered building a church. He is calculating the next car to buy before he remembered that people need to be transported to church. So he's not a sinner, he's not a bad person, just that his vision is personal. Kingdom is secondary. It's not that he is sinning, but there is a limit to what God can do with him. I want something to become clear to you today. What I'm talking about now is not theory. I'm aware of people working in it in nine zeros, billions. One of those guys told me, said this year already, jobs that have entered his hand is in the range of up to 150 billion. This is April. And you are going there. We are going there. Your story will be the next to be told. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number two, that was number two now. Number three, is functioning and existing as a warehouse, treasure house, or strong room. You know, the bank where they keep a lot of money, they call it strong room. Or strong room for God and his kingdom agenda in the earth. You are functioning as a warehouse, a treasure house, a strong room for God. Whenever God wants to bank, it comes your way. You are his bank. He makes deposits with ease and with rest and peace, and makes withdrawals on demand. One day, I wasn't a full-time pastor yet. Was it T.L. Osborne's book that we read? And Papa Yedeko's book? And T.L. Osborne. So we held our hands and entered a covenant with God and agreed with him. Lord, trust us. Let us be custodians of your resources. Let us be a store for you. And a channel. So we entered that agreement. It was in Jos, Plateau Hospital. Take your seat. So God began to send everything our way. And then to worsen it, I traveled for a program. She gave out all my cloth as offering. And her own too. And accounts. Beloved, from that day till next, there are things in this construction and in this site that we single-handedly did. That's myself and my wife. We single-handedly. But won't tell anybody. One day the school was looking for, was it 40 or 50 million? That's the Christian Academy. We wrote all of it out. There are others more detailed that you cannot be told, that is known to God, that will blow your mind, that will make the devil uncomfortable and make his agents aggravated. So for their peace and the peace of everybody, no need for comments. One day, a man came to my house, an American man, big man, extra large size, American big size. I said to him, I have a suit for you. Because in my warehouse, size 6, size 7, size 8, size 9, size 11, size 2, they are all there. Because I told God I'm aware. One day when I saw all the different sizes, I said, what's happening? He said, all of it is not for you. So the man came. I gave him one suit. The suit swallowed him. He said, wow, big, voluminous man. He said, as if they measured me. I brought it from my wardrobe. Hallelujah. Is there anyone tonight? See, whenever God, you know, those who work in the bank, the money is not their own. But when you reach a certain level, managerial level, GM, executive director, and all those, they pay them massively because they are warehousing billions. You can't be looking after big money and not be paid big. When you begin to look after the resources of God, you won't be struggling for money. When you are in a covenant with God, all I have is yours, and here am I. All right, God, what do you want to do in the earth? Pass it through me. You want a Samuel? Pass it through me. You want billions to win the whole of the nation of India, Pakistan? Pass it through me. Sir, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. If I don't tell you about the Kenneth Hagin man, and I'm through with the message, remind me. He demonstrates this clearly. I am not here to preach to you on how to become a Christian rich man. I am here to recruit stewards, financial warehouses. Number 4. It is possessing money that came from God, by God, and for God. The money came from God. It came by God, and it is available for God. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17 said, 19, cry out. So Zechariah 1:17. What did I say? Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Yet be spread abroad. Shall yet be spread abroad. Shall yet be spread abroad. Finally, number 5. Oh, I'll say one more. It is deploying life's time. Life's time, energy, ability, resources. Your life's time, your life's energy, your life's ability, your life's resources to take delivery and deploy the resources of the earth. Your life's time, your life's energy, your life's ability, your life's resources, you are deploying it to take delivery and then deploy the resources of the earth. It's not yet true. Into the assignment of the kingdom faithfully. Into the assignment of the kingdom faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. That is, what are you spending time for? All your energy, all your ability, all your resources. Oh yes, I am on an assignment to conquer as much wealth as I can for heaven and to push it into his assignment as much as I can. Do you know how much one AK-47 cost? It's in 6 zeros. Yes. Am I communicating? It's in millions. Yet somebody will arm about 1,000 criminals with 1,000 of it to go and level villages. Somebody, one person. The supply of the ammunition, the supply of food to the criminals, their sustenance for a month is in billions. Somebody is using money for demonic ideology. Killer agenda. And God is saying, I am looking for people that I will give massive wealth for counter agenda. Balancing the agenda of heaven against the agenda of the enemy. Balancing the agenda of light against the agenda of darkness. And all that most Christians want is, I just bought a new car. I just bought a new house. I've gotten my visa to America. I've bought my house in Paris. I just changed a new car. 2024 model or so and so vehicle. That's all that is on somebody's mind. And I paid my tithe. And I've also given to the crusade. God says there is a realm that is far beyond that. Listen, it is coming to the point where personal ambition is swallowed into kingdom vision. The way I am now, if I was to follow my ambition, my own personal ambition, I won't be holding this microphone. That is what I want with my life. That is myself. I won't be holding the mic. Anybody who you see struggling to preach is not called. If I was to follow what I want to do with my life, I won't be a pastor. I won't be holding the mic to preach. One thing I know is that I will be a surgical professor of neurosurgery or cardiothoracic surgery. Longest time. Long ago. For the sake of the interest, I would have read law on top. And I would have learned how to fly myself. All of it are inside me. That is in terms of what I want. You are aware of it. I wanted to do law and medicine together and do it inside forensic medicine, apart from the surgical issue. Do you understand? And then make money and then be a good giver to church. I didn't want anybody to say this man is pastoring because he's looking for people's money. I respect myself too much. My father was very audacious. He made money. Millions or more of those days. He bought brand new Mercedes car, brand new lorries. I grew up seeing money. That is, counting it plenty. But you won't touch it, but you'll see them counting it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I had dignity for myself. So I wasn't looking for that. But God, when the call came, all of that had to be dropped. One of the young men that I discipled in the university, he was studying under university. I saw him the other day and I said, oh, he has gone from UK and then he's now in America. He's a consultant pediatrician who is something. So I said, are you a professor? He said, no. I said, why are you wasting your life? All these years you are there, doing what? I gave him a time limit, go and do it fast. Because I knew if I was in their line. Since, I wanted to drop out of residency training. He has already become a senior registrar. Remain 2 years, he's a consultant gynecologist. He wants to drop and go into ministry. I said, go and finish it. When you finish it, you can become a pastor. He heard me and went and finished it. Those are the kind of things that was my passion. Until God came and swallowed my ambition into his vision. All dropped. Then I went full swing. This same kind of approach can happen. Where your vision, your best, what you want, I want to be, to make just your own normal idea of money making is, see this man that is a cool millionaire, I want to pattern my life after him. And God said, no, that is not the path I want for you. I want you to be my minister in the financial world. I want me and you to cut a deal. I want you to now begin to do everything you do, not with a personal financial goal in mind, but with a kingdom financial agenda in mind. If somebody got this, then we are true tonight. And you will go into a covenant with God just the way we did many years ago. Just the way we did. There are several crusade tools. Wanted to get a mobile house that you can travel with and sleep inside in the rural area. Is that what they call it? A caravan, motorhome. Wanted things like that, plenty of it. We didn't wait for anybody to do it for us. Provided, Lord, you didn't bring the money, it will be done. So we did one after another, after another, after another. Cardinal Crusade. You saw the clip of Cardinal Crusade? Can you show us the clip again? I told the Cardinal Church people, I said, what is the bill for that crusade? They gave me the bill. Plenty millions, tens of millions. I said, okay. Accountant, he's seated here. Church will not drop one dime for this particular crusade. Every single thing from billboard, Cardinal Church pastors here, every single thing from billboard to radio jingle to pay for the venue to buses, over 100 buses, I will pay for it. Do you know how exciting it is? On the second day of the crusade, I told my wife, I said, I feel so excited. He said, why? I said, because inside my heart, I'm just enjoying my life. You spent the money to do every advert necessary, and these thousands gathered. Then you are the same person preaching to them. And the same person giving the altar call. And praying on the twin that never spoke or heard from bed. Heard and spoke. And you didn't take any dime from anybody on the crusade ground. That is, you are literally paying so that the people can be helped. Isn't that how to live? But you don't need to go. If that is not your call. Do you understand? If you are not called to hold the microphone like that, you don't need to feel bad. All you need to do is, here am I. I am available as your kingdom steward. So I wish that somebody here tonight will branch to this other side. And if God say, hold 100 billion for me. It is not possible for you to need 10 billion, which I don't think you will need for dress. It is not possible for you to need any amount to do anything with your own life and lack it. It's not possible. You cannot pass water through the pipe and the pipe is dry. It's not possible. Somebody say a loud amen. That was what happened to the Kenneth Hagin guy. Started business with $500 in 1975. $500, 500. This story was told by Pastor Iya Adeboye. They were in the camp meeting at Robert's University, 1978. Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. About 17,000 people filled, I believe it was a maybe center. And after the service, this man comes out with his wife. And he said, all of you here, any amount of offering you want to give to this program and for this purpose, kindly give. Because after you have done that, me and my wife will double the total amount. That's if you give $1, we will give two. Wow. Papa Adeboye said, everybody got angry. What kind of man is this? What do you want to prove? So people gave angrily. The person who wanted to give $1, give 10. Let everybody give as much as they can. By the time they finished giving, everybody waited. It was counted. $3.5 million of 1978. I think that will be $3.5 billion today or more. When they called the man and he stood, he expressed disappointment. Say, all of you, this is what you gave. $3.5 billion. I am disappointed. He signed the check, $7 million. That's 3.5 times 2, $7 million. Dropped it. That the GO said he needed to find out what is the secret. So he followed the man. At the end of the service, say, excuse me, sir. What is the secret? The man said, he started business with $500 3 years ago. How many years? 3 years before. And he told God, other people give you tithe, 10%. And keep 90%. He doesn't feel that that is correct. You are bigger than man. Let me give you 90 and keep 10. The other way. God said, you mean it? Bam. The first one rushed in. He paid 90%. Bam, bam. By the time 3 years had come, this man had enough money on his own. When I heard the story, what occurred to me is that he had already given God what belonged to God. This balance was his own. The 10% he has kept, he still has $7 million to sign out of it. If you enter that deal with God and God fail you, you can back out. But as God's fail, my God will never fail. Oh no, as God's fail, my God will never fail. The same yesterday, today, and forever. As God's fail, my God will never fail. See people struggling to pay tithe, struggle. To give, struggle. You know, there's no need for this struggle. And a lot of people, the financial struggles continue. No need at all. In conclusion, what is the dividend of kingdom stewardship. The summary of what we are saying is, let the vision change from what you want to make for yourself into what you want to make because of the kingdom. Or rather, what God wants you to make for his purpose. Some people say, if I function like that, won't I be under, will I enjoy my life? You will be the most enjoyest man. Enjoyest. Hallelujah. Number one, the termination of captivity and reproach. If there is a reproach around your life, if there is a captivity, bam! Termination of captivity. Termination of reproach. That was what happened to Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:11. Reproach of barrenness. Reproach, shame of barrenness for donkey years ended. Once she became a steward and not an owner. Lord, I'm not planning to own a son. Give me what you want me to give you. Give me what you want me to give you. Give me what you want me to give you. Number two is the release of lifetime heart's desire. Whatever can be a man's heart's desire for a lifetime. This is what I've been longing for all my life. It can be cheaply released at the instance of stewardship. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 8, all the way to verse 13. That woman has desire of having a child that expired. When Elisha asked her, what do you need? She said, I don't need anything. That is, as far as the issue of the child, I have concluded that I will die barren. Until Elisha had to find out from another angle and literally force that miracle on her. The release of lifetime heart's desire. Number four. Number three is divine intervention in times of need. This man loves us. He has built us a church. Built us a synagogue. And Jesus said, Luke chapter 7, verse 3 to verse 4. Let's go. Number four is connection to the world of abundance. Connection to the world of abundance. Where God brings you to a point where what God is bringing your way, only you can handle it. Peter had to beckon to other people in the other ship. Come and help us. This is beyond our power. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. He beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship. Come and help. I am experiencing a breakthrough beyond my company's capacity. We just signed a contract of $7 billion and they say they are looking for another person to handle another $7 billion. I can't handle it normally. We'll get out of control. We won't do it effectively. I don't have enough manpower to coordinate all of it. I need someone. Can you help? You are getting there. I say you are getting there. Somebody told me that any job below 1 billion, he does not touch it. He will only ask that please give another person. There are many people looking for money. Give them. Levels there. But do you know the truth? You are stepping there. That amen is not good.
You are stepping there. In a short while to come, your testimony will be the next to be shared. Shout the loudest, amen.
There is somebody who said he doesn't do contracts at all because he doesn't want anybody to ask him for bribe. He builds houses where he sells some $1 million, some. You know, God has people. But very soon in every realm, what the God and his people will dominate. In every realm. In every realm. And it's already happening. In every realm. In finance, in aviation, in hospitality. The God and his people will take charge. They will be at the forefront. They will be the frontliners. If you believe that you are among those that God is talking about, you will shout the loudest amen. You will shout the loudest amen. Say after me, say my place is in the front. Take your seat. What I am saying to you, I beg you, don't let any single of it make you feel intimidated. Let it make you feel motivated. That's the word. Motivation. Is this possible? Is God doing this with people? Then I am assuming that things are happening when nothing much is happening for me. I am stepping in there. The same God unto one is rich unto all that call on him. One more time, I announce. Your testimony is the next. Your story shall be the next to be told. In the name of Jesus. Finally, the fifth thing that will happen in stewardship is drastic changes in levels. God just changes your level at an alarming rate. Drastic. He told Peter, I think in verse 10, and 11, he said, fear not. From now, you shall catch men. You have caught fishes enough. You shall catch men. I am shifting your level. The way Joseph shifted from being the manager of a person's house, then he shifted to the manager of a prison, an institution, then shifted to the administrator of a nation. Drastic changes in levels. Because the path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. One of the things I'm trusting God for in my lifetime is to see what we saw in the Bible. That in the Bible, the richest man in the days of Abraham was not an unbeliever. It was Abraham. That the wealthiest man in the days of Job was not a sinner. It was a covenant person. That in the days of Isaac, the same was the story. In the days of Solomon, abundantly. That in our days, when they are calling world's billionaires, when they mention 1, 2, 3 in every realm, the church is on the top. That is scriptural. If Jesus tarries to come, stand up on your feet. I am sure that our people are all connected. That was what I said. Did we make arrangement? Can I see the connection? Because until we hear the same thing, we can't grow at the same rate. Especially on subjects like this. Media, please let us know. And you know, in the interior village, if you do what you are meant to do, you will see the results you are meant to see. And God is no. Do you know that in the village there are lenders? People that others go to borrow money from. Inside the typical village. This may be following normal, natural financial principles. Where others are expenditure based. I have. A mother's cousin that had filling station all the way from Otupa, Otupo, all the way to Makodi, all the way to Kasinala, in its numbers. He lived in the village. His address was village. No airport there. Are you following what I'm saying? God is no respecter of persons. Your change has come. If there is any other way I can explain what I have, I could. But this is the sum. Lord, here am I. I want to partner with you. But beyond partnership, I want stewardship. You want a Samuel, pass it through me. There are things you want to do on the earth with money. Pass the money through me. There are things you want to do before Jesus Christ comes, so that this gospel of the kingdom can be heard around the earth. What am I doing? Here am I. And you sign the deal. And then you start from where you are. What can I do? Excuse me, church. Excuse me, account office. What's the next crusade? What's the next church planting? What's the agenda? Somebody sent me a picture the other day. He said he wants to build mini glory dome, this type. But like 200 seater. About, is it 500 of it? Starting from his village in the east for the church. I told, yes, about, he said, maybe he may be here tonight. He said, and he wants to start with that. And he said, the witchcraft in the village is too much. He said, this kind of power is needed there. He said he has finalized the design and is working on the cost implication. So he can start from place to place to place to place. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Agenda. Heaven's agenda. Lord, pass Samuel through me. I will gladly release him to you. Can I ask you a question? Did Hannah end with Samuel? By the time he gave God Samuel, he had about 5 more children that belonged to her. All she gave to God was 1 Samuel. That 1 Samuel opened her womb. And as the womb opened, she got more children that now belong to her. For example, you gave God a passenger plane to carry crusade team and crusade crew all over the world. You flying your own plane will be a matter of which one do you want? Do you understand? Which type do you want? That is your own. That will just be the matter. Which type do you want? That is the God that I know, that I serve, that I know. You can't build God a house and be homeless. That is the God I know. It will be a matter of what kind of house do you want to live in and where. Go on ahead and make the deal with God within the next 5 minutes. If you are in understanding, here am I, Lord. You want to bring Samuel to the earth, pass him through me. Is there something you want to do in the earth? I am available. In my generation, I don't want to be left behind. I make myself available. I make myself available. You may stand, you may sit. Whatever position is convenient for you, just feel free. Just feel free. I make myself available. I make myself available. I make myself available. I make myself available.
Here am I. Use me, Lord. Use me. Here am I. Use me. Here am I. Use me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Use me. Here am I. Use me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Use me. I will go. Send me. I will go. Send me. As the Lord need somebody, I will go. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I. Send me. I will go. Send me. I will go. Send me. As the Lord is somebody, I will go. Send me. Send me, Lord, send me. I will go, I will go. Send me. As the Lord is somebody, I will go. Send me. I will go. Send me. I will go. Send me. As the Lord is somebody, I will go. Send me, Lord. Send me. Father, we give you the praise. Please be up on your feet standing.
The first thing that God will need from anybody is their life. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you are here today and your life is not yet surrendered to Jesus, you want forgiveness of sins, you want today to mark a new day in your life, will you pick your Bibles and pick your bags and step to the front here and let's pray for you. Anywhere you are, you step forward. I will go. Or you are bound by an addiction, a lifestyle that you know God is not happy with. Something that overcomes you all the time. God bless you as you come. I'll be very glad to pray with you. Just move this backward. I'll give the count one more time. Are the locations connected? If we can have a look. I will go. Send me. Do we have the cards today? The cards for the stewards? Where's the... Okay. Quickly come forward. You have a card for us to fill? Can I have a look? Okay. All right, that's right. All right, step forward. Step forward. Place your hand on your chest. Pray this prayer after me. All of you in the front and say, Lord Jesus. Good. The ushers have it. Pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, I pray for you today. The hold of sin be broken off your life. In Jesus' precious name, amen.